بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We are studying this chapter that we should hurry and quickly do good deeds. We must not postpone them, delay them, and put them off. In that we read the hadith in which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that hurry up and do good deeds, and he warned us about seven things that particularly these are by way of example. And besides this, anything else, a person should be careful that he should not be stopped from doing good deeds. Of the seven things, that are you waiting for such poverty which comes to you, which make you forget everything? That is, you become so much desperate in need of money and so involved in acquiring money that you can't, you don't get time to make the ibadat of Allah. Are you waiting for such an occasion? Or are you waiting that you become so rich and you are so engrossed with your money, so busy making money, that also you don't have time for the ibadat of Allah Ta'ala? Or are you waiting for such an illness that you cannot make Allah's ibadat anymore? Na'uzubillah, may Allah protect us. Are you waiting till the time that you become paralyzed, that you get a stroke, etc., and then you want to make Allah's ibadat? In other words, start now. Don't wait for anything. Or are you waiting for old age that will make you senile, and then you can't think and remember anything also, and there is no taste in ibadat also? Or are you waiting for maut which will come suddenly to you? Not only that you get old and then maut comes, but just a sudden death. And how many young people also pass away? Are you then, after maut, are you going to make Allah's ibadat? So don't wait. Hurry up. Start immediately. Or are you waiting for Dajjal? And he is the worst person, that people who is unseen, unknown, and he will come. So when Dajjal comes, then you're going to start making your ibadat. That time, what fitna there will be. Now also we're complaining of all the fitnas which I prelude to Dajjal. And that is, people are just occupied with all controversies. People are occupied with confusion. So when are we going to make ibadat? Don't wait for any of such things. Start with your ibadat. Or are you waiting for Qiyamah to come? Then you're going to start making your ibadat. And Qiyamah is the most bitter and a terrible time when Qiyamah will come. Are you going to make ibadat then? In other words, don't wait. Start immediately. And when a person starts and he was making Allah's ibadat, for example, old age comes and now he can't manage that, Allah orders the farishtas to write the same sawabstam. If illness comes and you were making ibadat, then because of your illness you cannot do that ibadat, Allah orders the malaika write the same sawab still. So we should start immediately, not wait for better days, nor in fact worse days are coming. As Qiyamah is coming, no better days are coming, worse days are coming. So don't wait, start immediately. This hadith identifies various circumstances of life which often prevent a person from doing good deeds. So we should, there's a few that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned here, and whatever other such things that we should understand, that we must not wait for better days, start with our ibadat. In essence, the hadith conveys the importance of utilizing available time and opportunities for engaging in beneficial deeds. Many times a person says that when I'm free, then I'll make ibadat. But that free time just does not come. So start immediately. And the way to get free time is to start with the ibadat. Shaitan deceives us and tells us, when you get free of this work, of that work, just sort out this, then you're going to start with your tahajjud, then you're going to start with your ibadat. That is the wrong approach which Shaitan teaches us. The right is, start with the ibadat. And when we start, then Allah Ta'ala will give us that opportunity. It will come by itself. A beautiful example is given by Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali, that the camel driver, with his camels in the desert, comes to the oasis, and the camels have to drink water there. The person at the oasis has got a machinery which he has set up. a huge wheel with huge drums fastened to that wheel. They go into the well, draw the water and pour it into the dam from where the camels will drink. But this whole process makes a big noise. So the camel driver tells the person of the oasis that stop your machine in the noise, my camels cannot drink. When there is noise, they don't drink water. So he says, if I stop my machine, there will be no water for your camels. They will have to drink in that noise. So also in the noise of the dunya, all the ups and downs and what's happening, in that we have to make Allah's ibadah. Not that we wait till all this gets finished. It's not going to get finished, it's going to become worse. So we must make Allah's ibadah all the time, not wait for better days, and there are no better days, worse days are coming. So hurry up and do good deeds. Just as a trader utilizes the shopping season to his advantage, we are encouraged to hasten towards the obedience of Allah while the time and opportunity exist. Now, while we have the time, a trader also, he orders his goods 6 months before time. 6 months before winter season, he orders his winter goods. 6 months before summer season, he orders his summer goods. So we also must preempt and be proactive. And before time, before sickness comes, before difficulties come, start with our ibadah. They will ward out away those difficulties and illnesses and hardships. And if they come and we were making ibadah, we will still get the ibadah, but the sawab without making the ibadah also. Many times we are waiting that, and we are perplexed that what will happen in the future. So the time when it comes, we will cross the bridge. For example, a student is worried, how will I pass my exam? And in that he's thinking all the time. What he has to do, not worry of that so much, that should be only to that extent that it prompts him to prepare for the exam. But he's not preparing for the exam, he's just worried whether I'll pass or not. No, he must prepare, that is what he must do. And if he prepares, when he comes to the exam, he will pass. But if he was just worrying of the exam all the time and not worrying and not preparing, then of course he's going to fail his exam. So we also, we must start preparing immediately, not waiting what's going to happen. That how our mort is going to come, how are we going to fail in the akhirat, that must be to that extent that it prompts us to start with our amal. Not that we are so much engaged in that and we're not doing any amal. We are now in depression, we can't sleep, we can't think. No, we should do what we have to do. One should not delay in good deeds in anticipation, anticipation of better times. We should start immediately, not wait for better days. Poverty becomes a barrier towards good because the afflicted person search for food, shelter, clothing and money often diverts him from Allah's obedience. When poverty also overtakes a person, then he's so much engaged in trying to earn money and he doesn't get time to make the ibadat of Allah. On the other hand, when there's so much of affluence, riches, that also occupies a person greatly. One very pious lady used to make dua for her family that, oh Allah, give my family so much money that we can live comfortably, and don't give us so much that we get involved in money matters all the time, and don't give us so little that we live in difficulty and hardship. Just give us enough. That is a wonderful dua, that all the time, wherever we are, Allah just gives us enough that we can carry on. We don't have to worry of looking after it. We don't have to worry of hoarding it. We don't have to accumulate it for the taxman or for the crooks, etc., or for wasting it or for anything else. So just in between, that is the nice way a person should live. Our attention is drawn to the severe tribulations of Dajjal. Dajjal, the signs of it are already so clear, and good people can't stay away from porn, for example. Good people can't stay away from the sports, etc. There is all the Dajjal work that he's doing. All the holidays and the lifestyle, the clothing of the West, this is all the preparation of Dajjal. Already, man can't stay away. It comes when Dajjal will come, the woman will just get attracted and man will have to fasten them in chains. But when men themselves are already so much engaged in Dajjal's fitna, where are they going to even think of fastening their woman? Their woman will be lost, they will be lost. So this is a terrible fitna which we are already in, and we should now try and do good deeds that will save us from this fitna. Because he will claim divinity. Allah will give him such powers that he will appear to be God. He will do such things. For example, he will make crops grow. He will make the dead person come back to life again. Such powers Allah will give him. And were people now with COVID, we couldn't look after our iman. What are we going to do when Dajjal is going to come? How are we going to look after our iman? That iman which cannot control our eyes from guna, our tongues from guna, how is that iman going to save us from the fire of Jahannam? It is absolutely necessary that a person makes effort on his iman with fikr, and he makes fikr in the creation of Allah and realizes the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala, and his iman strengthens. And he makes zikr, the zikr of Allah, and that will strengthen his iman. Dajjal will claim divinity and will have certain extraordinary powers that will lead people to follow him. In a hadith it comes, مَا بَيْنَ خَلْقِ آدَمْ إِلَىٰ قِيَامِ السَّاعَةِ أَمْرٌ أَكْبَرُ مِنَ الدَّجَّالِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the time Allah created Adam alayhi salam till the day of Qiyamah, the biggest fitna is the fitna of Dajjal. And we can see it with a little bit of iman. We can see the prelude, the introduction, the preparation of Dajjal. Nobody practically seems to be saved on it. Everyone is occupied. When Dajjal himself will come, then what will be the condition? It is absolutely necessary that for all this preparation which is mentioned, we prepare our iman. That is should be a great worry. But if each one of us think, in which way are we trying to make just maintain our iman? What effort are we doing to maintain our iman, to make it strong, to increase it? Our cars, we know we got a maintenance contract. We do the service on the car. On our houses, we clean them regularly. Our gardens, we work on all the time. Our bodies, we wash and bath. Our clothes, we wash. What effort are we making to maintain our iman? Making it stronger is much more further. What effort? We are making namaz, but what effort are we making to improve our iman? Namaz. What effort are we making to see if my namaz is correct? Or is it just that I'm doing all I was doing for years, just going up and down, sajda, ruku, etc. But am I improving? Is my namaz improving? If not, that namaz, if it's not improving, be sure it's deteriorating. The quality of it is going down. If we are not working on our iman is going down all the time. And then suddenly at the time of maut, if we did not make our iman strong, what will be our condition at that time? And the greatest loss of a person is if we have to leave this world without iman. And whoever we are, it can be ulama, it can be Sufis, it can be tablighis, it can be anyone, we have to consciously make effort on our iman. And just talking about iman is also not sufficient. We saw now with COVID, many people who talked a lot about iman, but that time also they were following the ways of the kuffar, of the atheists, of the government, and they were not on what they were talking, and talking about it very loudly also. So we have to check where our iman is. May Allah give us tawfiq, guide us to righteousness. Subhanallah.